What's up, everyone? This is Lito, and you're listening to Crypto Testers, a podcast keeping you informed about all the coolest projects in the crypto space. In this episode, I talk with Kevin Chu, the founder of Rally. Rally is a platform for creators to build next-generation community economies. Using Rally, creators can launch a token, distribute, or sell it to their fans. They can use a whole set of tools to create special experiences for their fans. For example, reward fans who engage a lot on social media, who watch a lot of Twitch content, or who simply buy the creator's merchandise. The point is that using tokens, creators can reward fans and align incentives. Fans become not only emotionally invested in the creator's success, but also financially. In the episode, we talk about Kevin's experience pre-Rally, building a multi-million gaming company, how the Rally platform works, the potential of creator tokens, and whether he foresees any negative societal implications with creator tokens. But before we jump into the show, I want to thank our sponsor, Bitwala. Bitwala is Germany's crypto flagship company. They offer users in Europe a full-fledged bank account, including deposit insurance and other things, as well as an integrated Bitcoin and Ethereum wallet. So using Bitwala, you can move your money seamlessly between your euros and your crypto. They keep on adding new features, such as their recently launched Bitcoin interest account, allowing users to earn interest on their Bitcoin. I recommend you check them out. I will post a link in the show notes. Hey, Kevin.
Hello.
Welcome to the Crypto Testers podcast.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm really excited to discuss all things creator tokens and community tokens with you, especially because it's a topic that affects me. Well, I'm a creator myself, at least I consider myself one, and I'm trying to build a community around the Crypto Testers platform. So I really want to find out what this creator token hype is all about. So yeah, really good to have you here. So let's start by kind of talking about your background and how you started this project.
Yeah, my background is kind of a unique background in terms of both finance as well as creating virtual goods and virtual currencies for almost 20 years. So I started at Deutsche Bank in their M&A group, doing investment banking and corporate finance. And then I moved into a venture capital firm called Kaden Partners, where it's a $3 billion fund. And I invested and led our digital media practice for 2.5 years. And then I founded a gaming company called Kabam, which I was the founder and CEO for 11 years and grew that business from a PowerPoint presentation to over $400 million of revenue a year. We had 1,200 employees around the world, including a pretty large studio in Berlin. And wow, as well as Korea and China and so forth. So we made games on social and then mobile platforms. And that was a crazy amount of fun. So I spent, you know, those 11 years thinking about how do I create virtual goods and virtual currencies that people will pay me real money for. And so I've been thinking about that problem for a long time and have, I think, a pretty unique perspective on that combined with a pretty classic classical finance, you know, both academic and practical sort of background. And I just got fascinated with crypto probably starting around 2016 or so, is about a year after Ethereum kind of came to market. And I just had some friends who were really passionate about crypto. Some people I thought were the smartest people I knew that were really passionate about crypto. And as I learned more, I thought, wow, that's kind of weird, but I kind of get it. But it wasn't until about 2018 where I said, you know, I'm ready to start a company around this. So Rally Network was founded then, and you know, we have investors including, you know, Andreessen Horowitz and Kanan Partners and Battery and One Confirmation and IDEO Collabs, and we're really excited about the kind of partners that we have to really create a new model for creators and communities to use tokens to power their digital economy.
Wow, I didn't know that you had Andreessen Horowitz and One Confirmation as investors. That's really impressive. Can you explain a bit the history of creator tokens? Because I became aware of creator tokens, I think, a year ago. I think it was Alex, who was the first person to tokenize himself. And yeah, I thought it was a bit of a weird thing to do, but nowadays it has gotten much more mainstream and much more creators or Twitter influencers have done it. When did you hear the first time about creator tokens?
Well, the first time that I thought about creator tokens was in 2013.
Okay.
So 2013 was the beginning of, I think I got that right, maybe 2012. Was the beginning of celebrity games. And so these were games around an individual celebrity. The biggest game was called Kim Kardashian Hollywood. And it was basically virtual currencies and virtual goods around, you know, in that case, Kim Kardashian. There was also one around Gordon Ramsay and one around Katy Perry and some other musicians and so forth. So I think of those as like the original sort of creator tokens and creator NFTs. And they just weren't on blockchain yet. And I think, you know, the way I think about it is that what blockchain technology and the trustless ability to have, you know, these tokens represent real value and be exchanged for value on a mainnet, you know, blockchain is clearly where the space is moving. And I couldn't be more excited about this. And as you mentioned, Alex probably has done the most, you know, pioneering work in terms of trying a lot of different types of social experiments around what this token could be used for. But I have some other thoughts about like how I think, you know, like if we really zoom out and not just think about crypto social tokens, but we think about social tokens around individuals and around existing digital communities, whether they be games or whether they be other digital communities, I think there's a lot to learn from all this and where I think the space is going. So I think of this as going to be just a massive, you know, opportunity. And I think that the projects and the people that get involved today have an opportunity to build something really special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I guess what Rally really is about, at least what I understand from it, is that these first creators like Alex and others, they really had to do all these things manually. So they had to kind of code a token, like an ERC-20 token, which is fairly simple. But then the next step, they have to create a pool on Uniswap to make that token tradable. And Rally really wants to make that whole process super seamless for creators so that, yeah, they don't have to go through any of this hassle and there's like an existing platform. Can you walk us through this Rally platform and how the experience looks like from a user perspective?
Absolutely. The user perspective for using a crypto token, we want it to be as simple as starting to play a game. And I think, you know, gaming, certainly my background, but gaming also has pioneered and really gotten incredibly good at figuring out how to get, you know, at this point, 2.4 billion people in the world into a virtual experience with virtual currencies and virtual goods in a very quick manner. So the guiding philosophy for us at Rally was we believe incredibly in this ethos of trustlessness and full decentralization. But we balance that with a progressive stance of, you know, we need to guide people into this experience. And we start with, how do we get somebody into a crypto experience in 60 seconds or less? And that has to be, you know, we decided that we wanted to take a blend of a Web 2 and a Web 3 approach to going to market, such that a creator, let's say a you know, you and your community are obviously going to be more on the very savvy side of how crypto works. But for somebody who's an athlete, who's a musician, who is a Discord community, we want to take this perspective of you can get into holding your first, earning or holding your first crypto assets in 60 seconds or less. That means everything from account creation, wallet creation, funding of your accounts to acquiring the first crypto token or asset is a 60-second experience. And so I think we've been able to achieve that on the Rally side. And then as users get more and more experienced, you know, then they can learn about, okay, here's what it means to create your own Web3 wallet and take custody of your own, you know, tokens. Here's how you earn tokens. Here's how you can participate in governance of the network and a number of other things that we're incredibly passionate about, from truly making this a community-based, you know, open protocol. We think about it as an open economic protocol for, you know, creators and communities online. But I think that guides everything that we do. How do we make it simple enough for the next 100 million people to get in? How do we make it simple enough for somebody who's never owned a crypto asset before to experience it for the first time and not be turned off by all the complexities of crypto, but then still truly embrace and have the incredibly sophisticated technology under the hood to make this eventually a completely trustless network is how we've designed the Rally network.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense, because I did notice when I tried out the platform that it comes across as more centralized than most of the decentralized applications that I'm used to from the world of DeFi, for example. Mm-hmm. So when you sign up for Rally, there's an email, a password login, you can pay with credit cards, whereas in decentralized applications, you just log in instantly with your Ethereum wallet, etc. So to what extent is Rally making use of the features of crypto or Web3 today?
Well, so today we have two layers to the network today. So you can think about it as, you know, what's on layer one, or which today is Ethereum. We're very excited about what's happening on a couple of other L1s. We're focused on having the Rally token itself, which represents the liquidity of the entire network, the ability to govern the network. All that happens in a completely trustless manner on Ethereum mainnet. And so if you really care about the Rally network and you care about, you know, being in control of the economic changes of the network, you care about which creators can participate or not participate, you care about setting the rules by which the Rally network will self-govern over time, you know, you do that all on Ethereum, and you do that in a trustless enough way, just like any other, you know, DeFi project that you'd be familiar with. If you focus on how do I create a token such that I can have 1,000 people use this token, and eventually, and we're now starting to create the ability to sign for these transactions on the side chain on our L2 with, you know, for example, a MetaMask or another L3 wallet, you know, all of that's, you know, starting to be possible on the side chain itself, which is just a vanilla, you know, it's an Ethereum node. It's just a private Ethereum node that is our own L2 design. The way that we progressively decentralize is having all of our sidechain roll up into the mainnet. So, but today, as you described, it is a very much, it feels like a Web2 experience where you can log on with your email account and create a more traditional password. What that does under the hood is actually provision you with a crypto wallet, a Web3 wallet. And that Web3 wallet today just operates on our sidechain, but you can exit from that into your own non-custodial wallet when you want to. So that's all happens on the Rally network.
Gotcha. So eventually one day people will be able to get their created tokens onto the Ethereum main chain and send them to other users or trade them on decentralized exchanges. All those things will become possible one day.
That's correct. So we think certainly in the next 12 months, probably sooner than that, that will be possible. It's not... To be very clear, that's not possible yet today because of where L2 rollup technology is, but we'll be using a combination of, you know, probably optimism and a ZK fraud, you know, type of rollup validity proof for high value transactions. So, you know, we're pretty deep on exploring L2 solutions to take what's happening on the sidechain and really put them onto mainnet in a completely trustless manner. That is not what it is today, to be clear, but we think it's a very good trade-off because of, as with anything, there's trade-offs in our design, right? So what our solution is not great for is if you have 100% crypto audience, which maybe you have, but if you have 100% crypto audience and you're not really trying to get new audience into crypto, then it's, a roll solution or another, you know, type of completely trustless creator token solution may be best, you know, for that type of, you know, creator. If you have a mixed community where, let's say, you've got, you know, some pretty advanced crypto users, but you're also, you know, very passionate about trying to get a message out to bring new people into crypto for the first time, then those types of communities, plus obviously communities like musicians and others that are all experiencing crypto for the first time, I think the Rally network is designed for those communities to really thrive.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess you're applying the playbook of progressive decentralization, which makes total sense. And actually, I'm really looking forward to share your project with my non-crypto friends later, because I feel like you're providing a UX that anyone can use. You don't need to know anything about crypto prior to using Rally. But let's talk a bit more about that user experience then. So I used it. I loved it. The design looks awesome. You hop onto the platform and you see all these created tokens that trade on a sort of marketplace. You can scroll through them and you see different profile pictures of creators and their respective token name and the token price. So what can you do then? So you, as a user, you can buy those tokens. Typically, would you come onto Rally because you already have a relationship with a specific creator and that creator told you to go to Rally and buy his token? Or what is the typical user behavior on Rally?
Yeah, so today the typical user behavior is that creators design programs so that their community can earn the tokens. That's a really important concept, and it's a key way that I think we really think about how do we make sure this is a true community, or make sure that these tokens are used in such a way that a whole community can come around it. So I think when we Rally.io is a great way. It's a place where you create your wallet to interact with it for today. In the future, we're going to create ways for other developers to create their own portals so that you don't have to go through Rally.io. The next phase will be there will be an ability for other developers to create their own sort of account systems and other things for users to interact with creator coins. And then finally, it will be a completely trustless roll-up onto mainnet. But today, you're correct. You go to Rally.io, you create an account, and then creators can create ways for their fans to earn. And a lot of times, the creators that we work with, they have a Discord community and they have moderators on Discord. So a lot of those moderators are earning or have earned retroactively, their tokens for helping creators out. Other creators have, other super fans that work with them on Twitch or some other things. And so they want to create ways to reward their loyal fans for a number of years. Kaseki Honda, for example, he had a really awesome program where he said, hey, if you've been a fan of mine, then you obviously own a jersey. So if you can prove that you own a jersey through a photograph and you send that to me, I'm going to give you a bunch of my tokens as a thank you for being a loyal fan for the last several years. So earning tokens is a really key part of this. And the value here is that, when a creator creates their creator token for the first time, that token may not be worth very much. It isn't worth anything, really. And it's a great way to thank your community first. And you don't have to take money out of your own pocket to thank, your fans and reward, your loyal fans over the last several years through literally taking $10 out of your bank account and sending it to fans. You're creating this new token that will power your community, and you can reward your fans and continue rewarding them on an ongoing basis for, a number of, for work, for example, or any contributions to the community. And then to your point, users can then over time start buying the tokens on Rally.io. So if you missed out and you weren't, if you're just starting to be a Kaseki Honda fan today, you have the opportunity to go onto Rally.io and swipe a credit card or use other crypto payments. You can buy obviously with Bitcoin and Ethereum and pretty much, 30 plus other, crypto tokens that our partner Coinbase supports. And you can basically swap any of those tokens into a creator's coin and do that all on Rally, today.
And what can users do with those tokens? So let's say I'm a fan of this particular celebrity that you mentioned, and I received those tokens. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, is there already something to do with those tokens? I guess they're not worth much, at least at the beginning. So mm-hmm. What do people do then with these tokens?
There's two models that we work with our creators to provide. I think the easiest way is, the first model is, what are you already doing with your fans and customers today? Keep doing them, but do them with crypto. So for example, we have a number of Twitch streamers that are very popular. Stans is a good one. Mizzy is another one where they're streaming. They take donations from their fans. They have digital commerce with their fans on stream where, for example, Stans, he'll play a certain game or he'll play a certain character, in that game that you want him to play if you donate a certain amount of money to him. right? And so what we're doing is saying, hey, you know, instead of doing that across a PayPal or a, you know, on another, you know, payment rail, use your own creator token. And the reason for that is that obviously people can, your fans can earn these creator tokens, so they don't have to pay the full amount. They, you can charge them a little bit less because you don't have any payment processing fees once everything is in crypto. But the most important part is that you earn what are called community activity rewards. You know, as your community is creating economic activity in Rally, your entire community is earning Rally. So commerce is just better in crypto because you can potentially earn additional Rally rewards for driving commerce, your existing commerce that you do today, you know, across crypto. And especially for digitally, you know, for digital communities where, you know, a typical Twitch stream, for example, has, you know, viewers from 50 plus different countries watching. And if you're trying to take donations and commerce with your fans across 50 different currencies, you probably, and this may be something that you're familiar with coming from Europe, you know, the amount of fees and other, you know, challenges of dealing with all these different currencies is very significant. And so for a lot of people who have very digital oriented commerce, you know, the fees are lower. Crypto is just a much better internet, you know, form of money that enables transfers in a just a much more simple way. And this is your own branded token. So you can control that economy in a way that you just can't if you use another fiat currency. So that's use case number one. And so we generally work with creators that already have some form of commerce. And, you know, of course, the message isn't, hey, switch 100% of it over to us, but start, you know, but start slowly with us, understand what it is to earn these community activity rewards. And our creators are loving it because the reality is you're earning more than 100% of your commerce, you know, because you're earning community activity rewards, right? So it's just like our creators are the ones that are like mining Ethereum or Bitcoin. So instead of miners providing, you know, hash power to secure a network, well, a network like Rally that's built on top of a layer one like Ethereum, you know, we inherit the security of Ethereum and we reward our community, our creators and communities for driving economic activity through Rally, you know, rewards itself. So that's number one. Number two is holding. So I think it's a really interesting way to show that you're a member of the co-op, you're a member of the community by holding a number of tokens. So we think about it as token permission access. And this generally happens across Discord, across, we're going to support Telegram pretty soon. But I think one of the first killer apps for social tokens is token permissioned, you know, chat and community activities, right? So this is a way to verify and prove I've got, let's say, 100, you know, tokens for, you know, crypto testers or the other community that I care about. And to get into it, the channel that has more of the unique content, premium content, as well as knowing that I'm here with a bunch of other dedicated supporters, and we're going to have a much higher quality conversations. Yeah, that's absolutely killer in terms of the something that you could do with tokens that you can't do easily with any other form. So really, we work with our creators like Stans, like Kaseki Honda, and a few others to create both commerce in terms of their existing transactions and services that they provide and denominate through fiat, and then secondarily create special token permission rooms on a Discord or Telegram that allows their community to come and hang out and have high quality conversations or access to premium content only through these channels.
So it's a way to paywall a Telegram channel or a Discord channel, so to say. Is there a way to do this before the invention of creator tokens, like Web2, a sort of paywall or way to restrict a Telegram group, or is it enabled by crypto?
I think what crypto is to me, what I believe in very strongly, it's a way to align incentive structures, right? So in a Web2 world, what you would say is, hey, send me $10, right? Pay me $10 and I'll give you access to this channel. Right. Or maybe I charge a subscription of every month, I'm going to charge your credit card, you know, $5. And then you need to pay me, you need to keep your subscription active to access this channel. But what that doesn't do is align incentives. That basically says, hey, I provide a really valuable service to you and you need to pay me for that. Right. What holding tokens does is that says, hey, we're all going to hold, you know, this token because we believe in creating the future together. And you're going to contribute. I'm going to contribute. Maybe I contribute a lot more because I'm the central creator or I started it. And maybe I hold, you know, more of the tokens because of that. But I want to create ways for, you know, my community to earn the tokens, to buy the tokens if they don't have it, you know, have enough to participate in some of these things. But then we're all trying to build a more, we're trying to build something really special together that could potentially have more and more value that compounds, you know, throughout the years. You know, we want this whole community to participate and contribute. And so token permission access does that in a way that you can't quite do in a Web2 world where, you know, the ability, if I get 100, you know, loyal community members to all hold 1,000 tokens for the next, you know, couple of years, and we're all build something really special, and we're all rewarded for that. That's what token permission holding does.
Right. So you're saying with a normal subscription, I would, as a fan, I would buy the subscription once, I would pay $10, the $10 are gone, and yeah, I'm part of the chat, but that's it. In the case of a created token, I'm buying the token and then I'm never actually selling it. I'm just holding it. And because I'm holding it, I can become a part of the community. And because I'm still holding it, it also means that if that token becomes valuable, if the community grows, if there's economic activity, like you said, in that community, then I will also be rewarded for it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And so the psychology of that is really important, that, you know, if I pay you a $10 subscription to listen to, you know, the premium content that you create, great. I just expect that I paid for a service and I expect that I deliver, you know, you deliver me the value, right? You create the value and you deliver that value to me as the subscriber, right? But in the Web3 world, it says, well, look, I may have insights also, like, right? I may know about a project that is doing something really cool, and I want to, you know, tell the rest of the crypto testers community about it. And I want to write up, you know, my own analysis on it and share it with the rest of the community. And I'm much more incentivized to do that in a Web3 world where I'm holding, you know, crypto testers community tokens. And I feel like, you know, I've got something that, you know, 90% of the time I may just be listening to the awesome content that's produced here by the team that's focused on doing that. But at 10% of the time, I've got my ideas and I'm going to contribute that to the community because I feel vested in the long-term growth and health of the community.
Yeah, so it changes the dynamic from the creator delivering a service and the fan being sort of a customer to the fan really becoming a member of the community and feeling more incentivized to contribute to the community's growth.
Exactly.
That's really interesting.
Exactly.
Do you see that happening already with the creators that you have live?
Oh, absolutely. Discord and Telegram, it has become such a lively place, you know, for Rally and our token permission holders that it's definitely the benefit is very clear at this point.
Can you give a few examples of creators that you think have done a really stellar job at, you know, engaging the community and creating value around the token, these sort of things?
As I mentioned, I think Stans has done a great job. He's got both a very commerce-focused aspect as well as a Discord community. I think Busy is doing some interesting things. She's newer to the platform, so she's just kind of getting started. I believe she launched either early this week or late last week. But she's been playing around with it and testing it for quite a bit before rolling it out to her entire community. In some ways, she's got a great use case, which is that she does body painting, right? And so she's a Twitch streamer who's very entertaining. She plays games, she body paints, and she's got a very specific, you know, audience. And so, you know, for certain types of things that she's doing, she wants to say, hey, I'm going to gate access to certain types of content that I make behind this token permissioned wall. And so only people who hold X number of my Mizzy coin can get access to that. And then on top of that, if you want to, you know, select the next thing that I paint, I've got commerce for that. So she's got a menu of things. You can kind of pay her to like do something custom, you know, that you as a fan want to basically sponsor or be the patron of. And so that's like her commerce component. And so that's like something very unique where she uses both the token permissioned access plus, you know, additional commerce functionality for using something like a creator coin.
That is indeed really cool. Are you at all worried that kind of tokenizing everything also means that you're effectively financializing everything, where before the relationship of a fan to the creator would just be a human relationship without any, you know, vested interests, just a fan enjoying someone's music or someone's art. This creates like economic incentives, and maybe it attracts also people into a community that don't really care about that creator. They really just see it as a means to speculate. Do you think it could trigger behaviors that we actually don't really want to foster?
Yeah, I do think it has the potential to create some negative, you know, reinforcement loops that are very short term. So I do agree that, you know, great communities have long term structures, both economic as well as other, you know, reputation and recognition structures that you know, help make a community successful long term. I do think, however, that we're in a world where more and more people are turning to the internet for their livelihood. And I think this is just a much better than this idea of like turning to the internet for replaceable jobs. So if I'm nothing against, you know, the companies that create these services, but if I create a company that help people drive, you know, others around or deliver groceries to their home or something, incredibly valuable services. But the reality is those things can be commoditized pretty quickly, right? My services, if I joined as labor for one of these services, like my services could be easily replaced by somebody else providing exactly the same service of delivering, you know, groceries to somebody who needs them. On the other hand, you know, by creating a business where I create a unique set of content and insights or entertainment to a community of fans all around the world, it doesn't have to be people, you know, in my city that I could deliver groceries to. It's, you know, I create a set of content that 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 people around the world are willing to support from an economic perspective. I think there's going to be tens to hundreds of millions of jobs in the future that are people who do that, right? You're not limited to just servicing the people in the physical world, you know, around you in a, you know, 50 mile square, right? You know, in a 50, you know, kilometer or 50 miles, you know, radius around, you know, where you live, but you're literally able to create something that anybody in the world can access and support from an economic perspective. And so I think the way that I think about creator coins is that, you know, if you're primarily focused on creating just something that's kind of a hobby or for fun or just a passion thing that you want to do, you know, you may not want to play with creator coin until you feel like you understand the exact, you know, community that you want to do. If you're really thinking about creating a business, if you're hoping to combine your passion along with something that you would do full time, so you don't have to go work at a large corporation or something like that and climb the corporate ladder, and you want to go create your own business, you want to create something that you're both passionate about as well as turn into your livelihood, I think crypto will absolutely, you know, play a central role in that. And something like social tokens will absolutely play a central role in that, because the economics will be better for you. It will be better for you to create digital products and services, service, you know, fans and customers, and create an online community around your brand, and do it in a way that people in any country around the world with an internet connection can participate and support you and what you're doing. That's the future that we're building at Rally.
No, I couldn't agree more. I read somewhere that if the internet was a country, it would be, I think, the fifth biggest economy or something. And yep, I think it's only going to increase from here.
Quick shout out to our sponsor, Stakewise.io. Stakewise is a really cool ETH2 staking provider. They take care of all the heavy lifting involved in the staking process. Basically, they offer two options to stake. Pooled staking, where you can stake any amount and you can withdraw your staked ETH at any point. Or solo staking, where you need a minimum of 32 ETH and you have your own validator node hosted by Stakewise and maintained by Stakewise, but you also have full control over the funds. So there's two options depending on your needs and preferences. I really recommend you check them out at stakewise.io. They have an incentivized testnet going on at the moment where you can get familiar with the user experience of the whole staking process using fake ETH or testnet ETH, and they will go live with their production app in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I think it's also very interesting
when I looked at your creators, that a lot of them actually were Twitch streamers. So this is kind of, I think, the most digital native communities of all. Do you see that they are more prone to be receptive to these whole token ideas and crypto in general?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I would say yes and no. So what's happened with a lot of, Twitch creators have a lot of different options because they're one of the first sort of, primarily like all digital, communities and content and payment services that have developed around Twitch. So in some ways, they have a lot of different options available to them. But what we're finding now is that, as people understand what creating your own token that you fully control as a creator and that you're able to use in new ways to, reward both your long-running fans as well as create new economic, ways to have new fans support you. I think Twitch has been a fantastic, ground for that. And of course, Twitch is just so big and it's such a great community to start with. And we're very thankful that we're working with a lot of great Twitch streamers there. The second community that we're having a ton of success with is just kind of working with a bunch of Discord communities. And so Discord is an even newer platform. Discord is primarily, chat-based. And so there's just a lot of fantastic new communities that are emerging on Discord that we're starting to see incredible use cases around. And it's generally a younger audience, and this idea that financialization of things, as you call it, is less of an issue for an even younger generation. Even the Twitch generation, I think, is a fascinating concept to see where Discord, and we saw this too in the gaming world, right? So when we first created what's now very acceptable, but 15 years ago when I first started Kabam, free-to-play was this very dirty word. It felt like, I'll use the word financialization of gaming. Like, gaming is this fun, amazing art, and it's a craft, and there's been game makers for decades that, really put craft into their thing, and now you're asking your users, your players, to pay for stuff after they play the game, and it just feels weird. And free-to-play really succeeded with a very young generation of new gamers. People who are coming into games for the first time or were younger and they weren't sort of used to buying the $60 game that parents that my parents' generation, grew up with. It's always this newer generation that's saying, hey, I'm learning about this thing for the first time. Let's explore this new thing together. So I do think we're going to see, crypto and some of the use cases around social, which are still new and novel, kind of take root with younger demographics, millennials, today, and then sort of grow outwards from there. So folks that are both tech savvy as well as really interested in the financial and economic potential of this new technology and business model that we're so excited about. And so I think we're just at the very, we're literally in the first inning of social tokens and understanding how do we all use these things and empower new communities and creators with them.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. It's actually surprising that Discord or Twitch are not doing something in that direction themselves. Because, for example, Reddit have announced that they are experimenting or researching the possibility of launching sort of like a Reddit token or maybe tokens per subreddit or enabling communities to kind of form around a token and incentivize people to contribute in different ways, etc. Do you think that will come for Discord and Twitch?
I do think so. I think there will be more and more recognition that this is an incredibly powerful tool. I do think, however, that business model is well understood at this point in time that business model innovation is the hardest type of innovation to compete against.
Absolutely.
Right. So, and especially this business model innovation that's driven by radically new technology. And, I would say that what we're dealing with public, blockchains like Ethereum, like, Bitcoin, that type of technology is a radically new model of developing, implementing, and growing technology than the more traditional, software technologies that we're used to. So I think for example, while I've worked with fantastic engineers in my lifetime, I've had to go really recruit and train up entirely new engineering talent to really understand how to build on distributed systems that are completely trustless, that have multiple different attack vectors that traditional, you know, sort of software development doesn't need to think nearly as much about. And so it's a different type of expertise. And then the biggest one is just the business model innovation, which is that, you know, I think it's really difficult. I have not seen yet any organization that can succeed in a hybrid model. And by hybrid, I mean, on the one hand, I'm trying to generate revenue and produce future cash flow to shareholders in a traditional equity, you know, sort of model. The other model is a tokenization model, right? Or token economic model, which is the tokens are both used for governance. They're used for, you know, exchange of value and services within the network itself, or required to use the network. And so all of the value and all of the value encapsulation gets designed into the token and the network protocol itself. And it's very difficult to do either one of these right. And the idea that a traditional company will have their both traditional company business model of generating revenue and then profitability and cash flows from that, plus have a token model where they're going to, you know, design the token to have the right value and the right usage and the right network effects and the right governance model and the right decentralization model across new distributed, you know, computing technologies. It's just very hard to do both. So I think Rally, we're 100% embracing this idea of 100% decentralization. And we have a company, of course, as we got started, to hire the initial engineering team and development teams and product and designers to build out this model. But we've always set out that by June of 2022, the company will no longer exist and will be 100% decentralized. And we think we could do it even faster.
The perfect transition also to talk about the Rally token, or the RLI, that's the ticker. So I guess that's the Meta platform token. So you have all these creator tokens, but the Rally token is the one that reunites all of these tokens together, so to speak, and is, yeah, like you said, the governance token and the one that is designed to capture all the value from all the activity on the Rally network. Can you explain how this token works and what utility it has?
First and foremost, the Rally token is a governance token. So the Rally network, as we've designed it, has a total supply of 15 billion, you know, tokens, of which something like, I think, 25-ish million are, you know, available today. So a relatively tiny, you know, percentage of the overall, you know, supply as we start. And the whole point is that these tokens, the Rally tokens, are meant to govern how the protocol actually works. So obviously, one of the most important governance mechanisms is how do the emissions happen? Who gets rewarded for contributing to the Rally network? And there's three different components to the Rally network that are important for the network to be self-sustaining and completely decentralized long-term. The first is a community treasury. So, you know, funds that enable the network to continue, you know, ongoing core development and just maintain the technology and make sure it's up to date with the latest, you know, standards and so forth, and that the right developers and so forth can work on them. The second is liquidity. So because the Rally token serves as a liquidity token for all of the creator coins that are built on top of the Rally network, so you can enter and exit out of any creator coin without needing to create your own Uniswap, you know, pair or be listed on a central exchange, you know, for example, but have all inherit all of the liquidity of the Rally network, so that the Rally token itself is incentivizing liquidity today. And we have, you know, over 2 million of liquidity in LP pools on Uniswap and Balancer, you know, today. And then the third aspect is what we call a community activity rewards, which is the creators that are building their businesses. How are they using creator coins in their businesses? And any economic activity that's happening in them, they get rewarded with Rally emission rewards, which is the biggest bucket. It's about 50% of the total token emissions. So so these are the different things that the Rally, the token emissions and governance of the token emissions is done by the Rally token holders themselves, as well as, of course, who's allowed to create a token, what are called flow controls or limiters. So one of the things that we want to build into the protocol itself is the restrictions that a creator has, or the creator of a token itself has certain restrictions in terms of how much they can liquidate on a daily basis. And so this is to enable both fans as well as other market participants to be able to confidently buy that token and know that the creator can't just liquidate 100% of their tokens, in the very next hour, for example. So these are all things that are kind of built into the protocol itself and then governed by the Rally token holders.
Mm-hmm. Will this mechanism to prevent that creators sort of dump their tokens very early on, will that continue to exist once the whole Rally platform is completely decentralized? Or is this only possible because you're still controlling some aspects of the system?
No, that level is definitely a protocol level system. Yeah. So the parts that are more centralized today are the wallet that you create. When you create a Rally.io account, you get a crypto wallet. The other part is the on-ramps and off-ramps. The fiat on-ramps and off-ramps into, the Rally network. Those are, of course, also centralized and require the regulators. Any jurisdictional regulators really care about, we care about things like money laundering and other, very bad actors using this network. And so those are the centralized components, but things like what can a creator do? Like when you first create a token, what are the rule sets that govern that in the entire protocol? Those are all constructed at the network level and, even today operate as trustlessly as we can make them. Mm-hmm. They will be 100% trustless in the next 12 months.
Yeah. And you mentioned community rewards as being one of the pillars of the Rally tokens, or one way that the Rally tokens is emissioned or issued. How does that work? Because I saw when I clicked on some creator profiles that there were some insane interest rates or reward rates. So I guess you receive Rally tokens for doing what exactly? Just for holding that creator token?
No, so the Rally, kind of the North Star KPI for the Rally network is how much of the Rally is locked up to create creator coins, right? So every creator coin that's created requires locking up into the liquidity pool, what we call our token. We use a token bonding curve primitive, which is a relatively, it's not new, but it's been talked about for a while, but it's only lately that we're starting to see more and more projects incorporate token bonding curve technology into their project. But Rally is a token bonding curve project where the Rally token itself is bonded into the creator coin. So we look at how many Rally tokens are bonded into all of the different creator coins as one of the key KPIs for the network health. And so what is encouraged is that each creator who creates economic usage around their creator coin that ends up locking up more and more Rally tokens are rewarded with additional Rally token as their reward. So we calculate that today on it kind of shows up as an APY. So it's just, it's a relatively easy calculation to say, okay, how much creator coin activity is happening? What is happening with the underlying Rally network that is supporting this creator coin? And then if that creator in the community is contributing to the Rally network, then that entire community, so not just the creator, but the creator as well as the fans, all earn additional RLY tokens as it goes into as increased liquidity for that creator coin. So it benefits everyone proportionately. So what's really cool about that is, again, when we talk about token permission access or creators really wanting to grow a community with fans that are like-minded people, that everyone is earning these Rally tokens proportionate to their holding of that creator coin. So it's a really, really cool concept that everyone benefits and everyone's aligned. It's not just, hey, I took money from a customer and I deliver you just enough value to keep you as a subscriber. But now it's like, hey, we're all in this and we're all going to grow value together.
Okay. So when a fan buys a certain creator token, in the background, they're actually buying Rally tokens that, so to speak, like it goes through the Rally token and then more Rally tokens are staked or bonded up, as you say. Mm-hmm. And because more Rally tokens are bonded up in the background, that specific creator and their community gets more new rallies, but they don't get them directly into their wallet. It's in the form of more liquidity on that created token pair.
Exactly.
Is that right?
That's exactly right.
Okay. And how does the increased liquidity benefit the token holder directly? Does it mean that the token appreciates in price?
That is one of the potential outcomes, yes. That is the one of the more direct ones. The other one, really what's happening is that the exchange rate between the creator coin to the rally tokens is increasing.
Okay, cool. And how does the experience look like on the creator side, like the whole launching of the token? Is it like a very standardized process, or does the creator have to decide like how many tokens will I issue? What's the starting price? All of these things.
The vision for this is that a creator can select ultimately from a few different templates that the community control, that the community sort of approves. Mm-hmm. And over time, people can even create their own non-standard, you know, creator coins. They just wouldn't show up in any of the verified lists. So the idea is that if you want to have your creator coin be included in an index, you know, for example, an index of DeFi, you know, podcasts, you know, for example, then you would want to conform to a template that market participants can understand very easily, right? So if I know that I'm buying a creator coin on template A, you know, for example, I know that the creator has certain flow restrictions in place. I know that there are certain ways that the token bonding curve is configured such that the price and exchange rates will always be a reasonable, you know, sort of exchange rate and so forth, and that there'll be plenty of liquidity. If I want all those things, then, you know, I want to filter and say, I only want tokens that comply with these sort of things. And then I can, you know, figure out which creators I want to support. Or if I'm just really interested in this creator and they tell me they're using your template A, it just kind of removes all the complexity, you know, from this. But we do, of course, we do think over time that different creators and communities will have different needs. But right now, a very simple answer to your question is right now, everyone operates off of the same template. And so that's a very easy to understand that this token is very similar to every other token and that we can inspire confidence in the entire ecosystem when it's still getting going in these early phases, that whether you're a fan, you're a creator, you're a capital provider into the system, that the rules are very easy and transparent for everyone. And so, yes, so today, you know, to get started, you get everyone starts with 50,000. You know, social tokens themselves when they first create their first social token, whether it's a brand token, a community token, or a creator coin, you get 50,000. The token bonding curve works the same way for everyone, so that the first $100 of purchases, you know, changes the exchange rate by so much and so forth. So it's, yeah, we try to make it super easy for people to get started. And that process is, you know, it just takes about 24 hours. You know, today it's not self-serve completely just yet. We still have to, there's a light switch flip that happens at the back end. And then, you know, for the creator to create a bunch of meta tags around their token and submit that, you know, into the site, you know, all that takes about 24 hours to get started. And the most important thing is that the community, once a creator has gone through that, the community of rally token holders has to vote and make sure that, you know, and say, hey, this is a valid use case of the rally network. And mm-hmm. we want this creator to come on and have a new token that's what essentially is a verified token, which all the tokens at this point are verified tokens onto the community right now.
Yeah, so the rally community does some curation, basically. Not anyone can participate to prevent spam. That's cool.
That's
and
right.
I also like the fact that you're actually suggesting some templates for the creators, because I think in most cases they don't really know how to implement the right tokenomics. They just want to choose something that's proven, that works, that you guys have seen succeed with other creators. At least that's what I would want to do if mm-hmm. I were to launch my token. Maybe to wrap this up, is there already some, I mean, this is a completely new phenomenon, these creator tokens. Is there already some regulation around this topic, or is it still very new, so there's no guidance, or maybe there's no need for regulation at all? What's the status there?
Yeah, crypto tokens are not, you know, anybody that in the legal field that's looked at these things, you know, you can have a token is not a token is not a token, you know, in terms of like they're not all equal, right? So I think the facts and circumstances of how one either uses a token to either raise money or make future promises or deliver future cash flows or deliver, you know, goods and services or deliver whatever, you know, it's all different, right? So a token depends on the context of which, you know, tokens use. So the Rally Network token is, you know, the base. It's a token technology that we provide and make it really easy in a no-code way for, you know, let's say you run a great podcast, you run a great Twitch channel, you run a great Discord community. You know, you want to use a social token to capture the value of your new digital community, as well as power the commerce that's happening between community members. So these are all things that are incredibly important to happen. And at the same time, you can use the token to promise that, you know, in next year I will give you $10 million back if you buy 10 of my tokens. You know, it's sort of, you know, there's all sorts of different use cases that you could use the Rally, you know, token for, as much as you could use any other, you know, token for. And so the goal is, again, with this curation, you know, method, that's, again, not us as a company doing the curation, because we don't ever, you know, we think that it's important for this to run like a co-op where the community itself is 100% in charge of every single critical decision that happens, because I don't think any creator or any other community should trust a, you know, another big tech company that promises, you know, low fees and blah 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 and never to change the rules. Like, clearly all the tech companies out there, you know, have they're self-interested in terms of they want to grow their own market cap and their own value, and there's nothing wrong with that, because they deliver lots of value for that. But I think it's time for what the Rally Network stands for is that this is going to be a creator-run community, and I think that's a really important thing for the community itself to set the rules and regulations, and to also make sure that we find creators that have really great use cases for these that are not, you know, promising, you know, some crazy money tree thing that will invite the regulators of the world to say, hey, you're scamming somebody. I think the more that we focus on real communities and real use cases and real commerce and real experiments that are being done with this new technology and new business model, I think we're all going to be better for it. So that's kind of our focus. We of course have an army of you know, lawyers and others that we consult, you know, for everything that we do. And so we're very, you know, first and foremost, the Rally token is all about, you know, it's a governance token. It's a self-governed, you know, network of all the Rally token holders, of which there's about 400 at this point that are actively participating in the Rally network. And then for individual creators that are coming on board, you know, we work with the creators to define their use cases. They have to present that to the community. The community has to then approve that. And then that's how the community, a new creator coin, would go live on the network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at its core, it's Rally the technology, and how these tokens are then used by creators is entirely, well, after they are approved by Rally, it's entirely in their hands, and they can use it in a completely compliant way, or they could market it as a security. It is not always really in your hands. But I totally agree with you. I also think in most cases, at least what we're seeing, is that it really resembles more a loyalty token, where you can get access to a Telegram chat, or you receive a jersey from a celebrity. Yeah, it's really, really exciting. I personally learned a lot from this podcast. What's the best way the CryptoTesters community can try this out? What would you recommend for someone that wants to know more about Rally?
Definitely come check out the Rally Discord. You can find links to that on our Twitter page, I believe, and our blogs and so forth. So our Discord is kind of where the heart of the kind of town square for the community. Community members are now developing wikis and other helpful guides and tutorials as well that you can find on a few other places. But I think Discord is best. And for crypto testers, you know, I'd encourage you to try, you know, creating your own social token and, you know, whether it's Rally or some other, you know, usage or some other way that you create a social token. I think it's a great way for active communities like crypto testers to explore and really push the space forward in terms of how do we use these tokens to bring together people from all over the world in both a way that is a loyalty method, as you talk about, but also very focused on exchanging value and commerce in a completely digitally native way. And I think these are all use cases that we're all going to pioneer together, and we're in the very first inning of.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in doing so. I will research a bit more. If I do it, I want to do it right, of course. But yeah, doing this podcast with you definitely encouraged me to do so and has gotten me very excited about this. So thank you very much, Kevin. Glad.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for taking the time.
Ciao. Hey, it's me again. I hope you liked this episode. If you did, please feel free to share it with your friends and family or give us a follow on Twitter or LinkedIn. And if you have some feedback, reach out to me. I'd love to hear it.